He took my place. And this changes everything. He took my place. And this changes everything. Barabbas, he was guilty, and he deserved punishment for his crimes. He deserved death. But the innocent one, Jesus, stepped in and took his place. An exchange took place where the innocent became guilty so that the guilty might be innocent. And I want to ask you, church, has anyone ever came to your rescue, took your place, and paid the cost for something that you did, something you deserve? I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. It's also going to be on the screen. We have been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and today we're at chapter 15 during this Holy Week, where we're going to see today of the Great Exchange. So Mark chapter 15, starting in verse 1. This is very early in the morning. The leading priests and elders and the teachers of religious law, the entire high council met to discuss their next steps. They bound Jesus, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Okay, so here's what's happening. The entire Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish religious leaders, they had reached a decision that Jesus was, in their eyes, he was just worthy of death. And they had so much hatred and disdain for Jesus that not only did they wanted him killed, but they wanted him crucified, executed on a cross, which was a method of death that they believed was cursed. And we see that in Deuteronomy 21:23. But as a matter of fact, these Jewish religious leaders, they actually didn't have the power or authority to condemn a man to death, as the Romans, who were the ones ruling in the area, they had taken away the Jewish right to inflict capital punishment. So in order to actually and officially condemn Jesus, they had to get Roman permission. So the only way to get rid of Jesus was to go through Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor in the regions of Samaria and Judea from AD 26 to 36. And he was in town, he was in Jerusalem because of the Passover festival. Now, the Passover festival, large crowds would flock into the city. So Pilate is there to keep order, to keep peace. Pilate himself, he's a harsh ruler. And he felt nothing but contempt and dislike for the Jews, which they in return felt the same to him. So Pilate, he is not going to do any favors for these Jewish religious leaders. So early on Friday morning, they take Jesus to Pilate. Look at verse 2. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Then the leading priests kept accusing him of many crimes. And Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer them? What about all these charges they are bringing against you?" But Jesus said nothing, much to Pilate's surprise. The Sanhedrin, they arrested Jesus for blasphemy, which meant that Jesus claimed to be God. And the Jewish religious, they didn't believe this, and obviously they're not going to accept this. But the Sanhedrin also knew that blasphemy, it's not going to hold up in Roman court as a punishment that deserves death. So they come up with this strategy to show that Jesus is much more than a blasphemer, but he is in fact a rebel, that he's an insurrectionist who claimed to be king, because that would be a real threat to the Roman crown. But Pilate, he's not stupid. And right away, he could sense that the Sanhedrin's case against Jesus, it's really weak. And Pilate knew the man standing before him today, Jesus, he's unlikely to lead a revolt or be a physical threat. So Pilate asked Jesus right to his face, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And the response of Jesus when Pilate asked that question, It's not enough to convict him. So these religious leaders, they come up with these other accusations. And these other crimes, they're actually recorded in Luke's account. Number one, that Jesus, he encouraged people to not pay their taxes. That Jesus claimed to be king is number two. And number three, that he caused all these riots along the countryside. See, these other crimes, these were acts of rebellion against Rome. And the Jewish religious leaders, they knew that, tax evasion, treason, and terrorism, that would get Pilate's attention. It didn't matter to these religious leaders that they were lies, false accusations, and twisted statements. The Jewish leaders, they wanted Jesus killed, so they painted Jesus as a rebel, because a rebel is someone who deserves death. And Pilate knew that these accusations, these charges were ridiculous. And he expected Jesus, you know, to defend himself. But when Jesus just stood there, not saying a word, it says that Pilate was amazed. He didn't know that Jesus was actually fulfilling prophecy, which we see in Isaiah 53, verse 7. But we need to understand, church, that amazement is not the same thing as faith or belief. Pilate wanted to let him go. After all, Jesus had done nothing wrong. And Pilate was a man who upheld the law. However, Pilate is under this intense amount of pressure to keep the peace. And the last thing that he needed was riots, rebellion from the crowds, and the religious leaders on his hands. And so Pilate thinks he found a way out. Look at verse 6 with me. It says, "Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner, anyone the people requested. One of the prisoners at the time was Barabbas, a revolutionary who had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd went to Pilate and asked him to release a prisoner as usual. 'Would you like me to release to you this king of the Jews?' Pilate asked, for he realized by now that the leading priests had arrested Jesus out of envy." But at this point, the leading priest stirred up the crowds to demand the release of Barabbas instead of Jesus. So this way out, it's a custom to release one prisoner who deserved punishment. And most likely this was established to be on good terms, to earn favor back from the people. And now enters Barabbas. And here's what we know about Barabbas from Scripture. Matthew called him a notorious prisoner. Luke tells us that he was in prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Mark, what we just read, called him a revolutionary, a rebel. And John's account called him a robber. Although this Greek word for robber, leites, it can mean a robber, but it's more accurate to say that it refers to someone who is a rebel. Someone who is an insurrectionist. And we know this because Jesus used this same word in Matthew 26:55 when he told those who were arresting him in the garden that he wasn't leading an insurrection, that he's not leading a rebellion. So you don't have to come at him with clubs and swords. Biblical scholar D.A. Carson noted that neither theft nor violent robbery was a capital offense, but insurrection was. Revolts and bloodshed fostered by guerrilla action were common, and Barabbas had been caught. Rome is not going to tolerate insurrection, and the punishment was death by crucifixion, which was a violent and painful and a trademark of Roman power that was a warning to anyone who dared step up and try to take up arms against Rome. Barabbas. Now, he's guilty of insurrection, and he deserved to be punished. I find it so interesting that of all the thing that these Jewish religious leaders were trying to accuse Jesus of, like these things that actually deserved punishment as crucifixion, Barabbas did them, not Jesus. So we need to be very clear. Barabbas deserve the cross. Jesus did not. Look at verse 12 with me. It says, Pilate asked them, "What should I do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." "Why?" Pilate demanded. "What crime has he committed?" But the mob roared even louder, "Crucify him." So to pacify the crowds, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Pilate had prepared three crosses for three crucifixions. D.A. Carson also suggests in his commentary that since three crosses were prepared, it strongly suggests that the two robbers who were next to Jesus were part of the same insurrection that Barabbas was a part of. Three crosses, three rebels. And if so, that means Jesus actually took the place of the rebel Barabbas. That Jesus was crucified on the cross that was originally constructed for Barabbas. And Pilate stated over and over that he believed Jesus to be innocent. But he wanted to satisfy the crowds more than he wanted to stand by his own convictions. He didn't want to have a riot on his hands. You see, the politics of the day superseded the principles of Pilate's life. You know, church family, this kind of makes me think about my own life and my own choices. Do I make decisions that satisfy the crowd more than doing what I know is right? Do I stay quiet when I know I should speak up? Let me ask you, church, who influences your life decisions? Who are the crowds in your life? You see, Pilate's insecurities and fears, it led him to have the innocent one, Jesus, whipped to the point of death and then sent off to the cross where Jesus would certainly face death. He took my place, and this changes everything. Church family, I hope you're beginning to realize who Barabbas is. It's me. And it's you. How many times have I rebelled against God? How many times have I rejected His will and His way for my own? Revolted on God's law and His rule, where I've chosen my sin and my urges, where I've chosen myself over His goodness and righteousness. How many times? How many times, church, have you chosen yourself over God? See, don't you see? Like Barabbas, I'm the rebel. And you're the rebel. I deserve the punishment of death because of my sin. And you deserve the punishment of death because of your sin. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Do you know what this means? This is what this means. But he was wounded for Mike's transgressions. And he was crushed for Mike's iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought Mike peace. And with his stripes, Mike is healed. Church, I want you to read this. And I want you to replace the pronoun with your name. And I want you to make it personal. So please, go ahead and read this and insert your name in the blanks. See, this prophecy from the book of Isaiah is about Jesus, and it leads to Barabbas and to us. The Apostle Peter would later recall this same substitutionary atonement that Jesus endured on our behalf. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Church, we're going to do that one more time. Read this scripture, replace the pronoun with your name, make it personal. You see, it should have been Barabbas who was whipped and led to death on the cross that day. It should have been me. It should have been you. But instead, the great exchange took place. And church, this is who and what God does. The Father God, he loved Barabbas. And Barabbas, yeah, he was a bad man. He was a murderer, a leader of a rebellion. But God loved him. For while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son Jesus to take the place of Barabbas, to pay the punishment that Barabbas earned and deserved. Church, I don't know the things that you've struggled with or the things that tempt you, the things that are controlling you. And I certainly don't know all the bad things you've done. But I do know that you should see yourself in the figure of Barabbas. You're a rebel, just like Barabbas. And as you see yourself just like the rebel you are, I pray that you see and you discover Jesus stepping in and taking your place, just like he did for Barabbas. God sent his son for you because he loves you, just like he does Barabbas. You need to know that your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion, it's not going to fix your problems, your pain, your sin. There is only one way. One way. And that's through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the one who took your place, exchanging your place with his, exchanging your sin for his righteousness. You are guilty, but the innocent one, Jesus, took your place. He became guilty so that you could be innocent. That's how much God loves you. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, church, Pilate asked the question when he faced that angry mob, and it's a great question. It's a question that I have to answer and you have to answer. Pilate asked the question in verse 12, then what should I do with this man, Jesus? What should I do with Jesus? And that's the question that is before you today, right now. What are you going to do with Jesus? Will you continue to live life under your own terms without any changes? Slaved to your sin and urges? Or will you receive what took place on the day of the great exchange? You see, the great exchange, it's waiting for you. The punishment you deserve can be taken away. The shame and guilt caused by your sin, it can be taken away. You have to give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. And if you allow Jesus to take all of your pain and your suffering that's caused by your sin, then what he's going to do, he's going to give you his own righteousness. right? And then you get to live the life that he always intended you to live. To live in his love and his forgiveness and his grace. And you get to be reconciled to God. And you get to be reconciled to your brothers and sisters who look different than you. And you get a, and then you get to have hope and a future. See, you're not going to find that kind of life in yourself. You can't set yourself free. There's only one way. One way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus took your place. And this changes everything. Church, I'm going to give you some time to respond. The next couple minutes before we take communion, it's yours. What is Jesus impressing on your heart and mind? Answer that question. What are you going to do with Jesus? Be honest and be real. If you need to come up front, you're welcome to do that. We have some elders who would love to join with you and pray with you. This is your time. Respond to Jesus.